So if you would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, and fulfill the lust thereof. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, we come to you and we thank you that you love us. God, we thank you for Christ and the sacrifice that he made for our sins, Lord. Father, we're grateful that you desire to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. God, as we come to you tonight to worship, I just ask, Lord, that you would just calm my heart, Lord, that you would allow me to speak the things that you've laid upon my heart, and God, the things that you've been working in me over this last couple of months, Lord. Just thank you for loving us, and it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. So the past few weeks, you know, the Lord has allowed Pastor to take a vacation, if you will. I really don't call it a vacation. But, you know, the Lord has allowed Pastor to go outside, present Noah's work, and it allowed men in the church to step up and fill in for him and provide a sermon. And really, the opportunity to stand here tonight is overwhelming because there's a deep responsibility that goes along with it. It's not just a chance to get up and tell everybody this is what I think. And so I just ask you guys to bear with me. And again, just I'm grateful for Pastor allowing me the opportunity. Again, speaking of responsibilities, if you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Now, as husbands and fathers and leaders in our home, it's our responsibility to make sure that our children grow, or, you know, those that live with us grow. And I, for me, this has been a huge struggle. And if there was anything that I could ever covet your prayers on, is this right here. I'm a leader, and I bring my family to church and whatnot, but making sure that we have that time for prayer, making sure that we have time for reading our Bible is something that, you know, we think about it, but then it doesn't happen. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So what I want to get at and start pointing across here again is I said husbands and leaders and fathers in our homes, it's our responsibility, but we have been burdened now for some time about the growth of our church. And so what I want to talk about tonight is just some things that we have the opportunity in our personal lives that might be affecting that. So I guess if you wanted to put a label on this, would be, how is my service affecting our church? Okay. So the last couple of weeks, I put on the bulletins, "Why are you here?" And then on this last Sunday, I put, "Did you come expecting to hear from God?" And these are so important. We can have a relationship, if you will, but if we don't put anything into it, it's never going to grow. Okay. Now, Caleb talked to us Wednesday about making right choices and choosing to do the Father's will. And honestly, we can either do things, lead songs, come to church, put on a face around people that we work with or whatever, but really when it comes down to it, it's what is our motive? All in all, it is what our motive is. Because if we're just doing it so we look good, or if we're doing it just so people think that we're doing the right thing, then we're a Pharisee. That's all we are. You know, and Brother Girth even talked about that a little bit on Sunday, about the fact that he called them whited sepulchres. You know, Christ looked at it, he's like, look, you guys, you're just putting on a show. So, if we're not making the choices to come to the house of God and serve Him out of love of our heart and out of a deep desire to have a relationship with Him, then how can we expect anybody around us to see a reason to go? Our relationship is tied directly proportionally, if you will, to the size of this church, to the spiritual growth of this church. You know, it has to be one of those things. We come down to the fact that I know that I have to make that appointment to spend time with the Lord in my Bible, to spend time with the Lord in my prayer. If I'm not doing that, if I don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, then the church as a body, their relationship with the Lord is going to be weakened as well. You know, if you look at it in the medical world, if, you know, Caleb talked, I'm trying to think who talked about gangrene, cutting it off. I think that was Brother Girth mentioned that too. But, you know, if you have an infection, you have to deal with it. Well, if you and I don't have a right relationship with the Lord, and we're coming into this body, then this body's got a problem, and we need to get rid of it. And the only way that we can do that is having that personal relationship with the Lord. Okay, so if we go to Romans chapter 13, I say we already read that, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself, or behind myself here. Romans chapter 7, please. So here we have the tongue twister, if you will, that Paul gives out. The things that I want to do, I can't, I don't do. And I want to go over this because Paul makes a point in here that I want us all to really think about. So Psalms chapter 7, verses 18 through 25. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, we're talking about the flesh there. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. And then over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, right there, we understand that Christ is the only one that has the ability to help us battle that flesh, that wicked man within us. It's only God that gives us the ability to change. And even as Paul, you know, tells of his struggle of the flesh and the spirit in chapter 7, you know, look there in verse 24. What's he say? He says, "O wretched man that I am," and then the key word that I find in that passage is, "Who shall deliver me?" It's not, what can I do? How can I cleanse myself? How can I change my thought process? He says, who can deliver me from this body of death? And of course, we know that answer is Jesus Christ. And so, the thing that we need to look at really is that, again, it's only Christ that can reconcile us. And as Christians, we're supposed to be the light of the world. Is it 1 John? We read that. It talks about, you know, if we say that we are the light and yet we're walking in darkness, then we lie. It's so easy to put on a front and walk around saying that, oh, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. I'm dotting my I's. I'm crossing my T's. You know, but if this is the only godly influence that we get throughout the week, and then the people that we're around are not godly, and we're not a godly influence to them, what are we going to do? You know, the adage of garbage in, garbage out really is how that comes about. You know, what you surround yourself with is what you're going to end up like. I haven't got to spend a lot of time in the prison ministry now with Brother Girth and Brother Toby because of my work schedule, but the times that I've spent in there before, most of the guys that I talked with that ended up going back in, that had supposedly gotten saved, when they got out of prison, they ended up going right back to the guys that they were running around with before. You know, they didn't get back in, they didn't get into a church. You know, they just, well, these are my friends. And it's really hard, yes. You get that social and that emotional bond with people. And it's hard to sever that tie. But if we're to be the light of the world, then there has to be something different about us. And so I was trying to find a verse that really tried to draw this picture out to help us to understand what our flesh really does to us. And the best thing that I could find is Psalms chapter 140. Now, obviously, you know, when David wrote this psalm, he was actually speaking of a physical person that he was asking the Lord to deliver him from. But really, our flesh fits into this perfectly. Psalm chapter 140, verse 1, it says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips." Selah. "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who hath purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me, and cords, they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set grins for me," Selah. And then verse 12 and 13. "I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. So like I was saying, David was speaking of an actual person he was asking the Lord to deliver him from. But really, if you look at this, there's three things there that are mentioned that are critical for us as Christians in our walk with the Lord that we have to battle with in our flesh. One, the heart. Okay, like we said earlier, nothing can change until the heart is changed. You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, well, the renewing of your mind can't happen until your heart is changed. We know that there's nothing good in us. You know, I mean, we can go throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it's there everywhere. You know, there's none righteous, no, not one. You know, and then Christ, he says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one come to the Father but by me. So, you know, in order to have a relationship with God, in order for our mind to change, in order for our heart to change, where our imagination is, if you will, our soul, in order for any of that to change, it has to take Christ and His work in us. Okay, so Christ has done that work in us, and we understand that. But then He goes and He talks about they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. You know, and looking again, you can go over to, into James, and it talks about what the tongue is and gives a very good description of it. You know, how the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It's a very small thing, but it moves the ship about. Or we put a bridle in a horse's mouth so we can move the horse. Okay? So, you know, the Lord is working on our heart, but then we have to watch our mouth. Because the first thing that I've noticed with people that want to say, well, why should I go to church? Is, well, James goes to church, and he's been telling me about salvation and about the love of Christ and all this stuff, but yet, man, the words that he says, you know, or even the simple fact that, you know, when people are around him and they're cursing a blue streak, he doesn't say anything about it. You know, or doesn't separate himself from it. Remember we were talking earlier, garbage in, garbage out. What you got yourself around, that's what's going to come out of you. Brother Jackie was talking here the other day. He was saying that he had a guy that was in the work stall next to him. He was working on a vehicle. And the guy's just going like there's no tomorrow. You know, he's like, I don't think he had one regular word in between five curse words. And he was like, finally, I just had to look, either shut up or I'm going to have to take a break and go. Because it was just, he had to separate himself from it. It should be offensive to us. Just as it's offensive to, as it should be offensive to us if someone uses the Lord's name in vain, or if someone comes up to you and yells at you, you take offense to it, right? Well, it should be the same thing. We shouldn't stand for it. Okay, so then if we're not going to stand for it, it shouldn't come out of us. The other thing to look at there is the fact that he talks about his hands. You know, he talks about the hands of the violent man is, or the wicked man is trying to put a net out there, is trying to catch him in a snare. Our actions speak so much louder than our words. But okay, so if our heart has changed and our words are changed because of the Lord working in us, but our actions haven't changed, then still, this guy that, you know, I work with is going to say, well, you know, you're still going out and drinking with everybody. You're still going out and smoking and running around with those who do. So what is it that's so different about you and your actions that I need Christ? So in realizing that our actions have a direct response to our growth and to those about us, because, you know, the Great Commission is we're supposed to go out and preach the gospel. We're supposed to tell others. But if our actions and our words and everything about us is saying otherwise, they're, number one, they're not going to listen to us. And number two, like we were talking earlier about having that sin in our life and our spiritual growth, obviously our relationship with the Lord is not going to take place, if you even really want to call it that. So what's the term Christian mean? People will label you with it, maybe. You know, but the Catholics are labeled as Christians. You know, now the Mormons are even claiming that they're Christians. But the term Christian means Christ-like. And so realizing that, you know, the term of being a Christian means that you're supposed to be Christ-like, but if we don't really have a good relationship with Him, and really what everybody is seeing is hypocrisy from our life, then, you know, we got to come down to a point where change has got to take place. You know, even in Jeremiah, you know, he talks about how our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You know, it comes down to understanding again that God and only God is the one that can make that change, and the only thing that's going to allow the Holy Spirit to really be able to work in you is if you're filling yourself with the Word, and then He's going to be able to use that. And see, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, he says, "For lo, the carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we know that the only way that this is all going to take place, like I said, is through Christ. And there is no way that we can be pleasing to God, be pleasing to the Holy Spirit, and be used and give praise and glory to Jesus Christ is through that change, through the change in our heart and our mind. Okay. So David, like I said, he asks this, you know, prayer of the Lord, deliver me from the wicked man. And really for us, for our heart, you know, that needs to be our prayer, in the fact that we realize that this wicked man that David is speaking of very well could be the flesh that lies within me. Paul said he dies daily. And why is that? Because the flesh keeps popping up. You know, it's real easy to get into the flesh when someone comes up and pokes their finger in the chest, says, "You're wrong." You know, you want to puff up, yell back at them, you know, maybe not physically push them in the chest, but push them in the chest with your words. But, you know, it comes down to the fact that we need to realize that the flesh that is within us needs to die. And so we know that that strength comes from Christ, as I've said and said and said, and I feel like I'm repeating myself. But we need to come to the understanding and the belief and the faith that, as Jeremiah says in 33:3, "Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That directly is responsible to me. It's directly responsible to my walk with the Lord. I can't call upon the Lord, as it says in John 14:13, and, you know, where it's a promise of whatsoever you ask in my Father's name and glorifies the Son, He'll give it to you. You can't ask of anything of the Lord that's not going to be glorifying to Him. And so as a church, I guess my challenge to you, to me more so, is the fact that we really need to step back and look. You know, am I the weak link here that's holding this whole thing back? Am I the weak link that's holding the Holy Spirit from being able to really do a work in our church? Being able to do a work in our community? You know? Like I said, I know as a father, it's my responsibility to lead my daughter. It's my responsibility as a husband to lead my wife. It's my responsibility as my job in the community to be an example of what Christ is. I can say all I want, but if my life is not leading by example, then there's no point behind it. It's all vain. The Father's will is for us to spread the gospel. And if, like I said, if our life doesn't show that, then there's no reason for them to even listen to us. So, where are you? Did your family look at you as a husband or as a leader and say, But then on the same hand, I have to turn that around and say, you know, yes, it's us as husbands and fathers and leaders in our home, it's our responsibility. But on the same hand, it's all of our responsibility to work on that personal relationship with the Lord. It's easy to sit there and go, well, you know, you dropped the ball. I don't have to worry about it. So if you go ahead and we'll close in prayer, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Gracious Father, Lord, I come to you, and I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to speak. God, I feel so frail in the words that are given, but God, I just know that you've been working in my heart these last couple weeks about this, and it's something that, God, we as a church need to realize that our personal relationship with you is more than just what we say and do, but God, it affects everybody within this church, within this four walls, Lord, tonight. Everybody is affected by each one of our actions and the words we say. And God, I know that we're supposed to speak your word in love and truth. And Father, I pray that when people look at us, that is what they see, is the truth of Christ, the love that he has for them. And God, that we would be able to spread the gospel. That God, we would be able to tell them that Christ died for them for their sins, and that he loves them and wants to have a personal relationship with them. I thank you for loving me, God, and I thank you for the salvation that I have through Christ and his shed blood. And God, I glory in the fact that he rose again the third day. Just pray, Lord, that you would be with the remainder of our services. We have a small time for prayer and remembering Pastor and Noah and Brother Lambert. In Christ's name we pray, amen.